It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosi.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosi. The show is available as a podcast, and it's also available on iTunes.
Put a spell on you. Because you're mine. Stop the things you do. What's up?
That's right. That's from 1956. It's that time of year. That's Screamin' Jay Hawkins. That's everyone's favorite opera-trained R&B voodoo jive man, Screamin' Jay Hawkins. And I put a spell on you because I have company in town. He was in earlier this month, but it's so busy he has to come in twice in 1 month. A thing who needs no introduction, and he puts a spell on you too.
Of course I put a spell on you, for everything you do should be counted, should be credited against you, because you are the great Matt Sosi, and I am Sammy Terry.
I see an emceeing gig for a Sammy Terry show sometime in my future. Might have to plan that for next year. How are you, Sammy?
Oh, I'm doing horrible. It's so exciting each and every day that I get up in my birthday month. October was so nice that they fashioned an entire celebration of Halloween around my birthday. I'm so very honored.
So I'm guessing the house is all ready for this weekend. I think if I remember right, some cities are celebrating Halloween this weekend, and then others are actually just going to flat out do it on the 31st.
Oh, that's correct. They're expanding my birthday celebration in all communities. Some on Saturday, a little dabble on Sunday. Even some may let it pour over on Monday like an oozing, festering green wart. But Tuesday, the day of my birthday, Halloween, all of the little tooth decay-seeking suckers that come to your door, make sure you put your own spell on them.
And of course, November 1st is always good because all of that candy is marked down.
Exactly. Hit your local discount store for cheap candy so the dentists can get richer.
And you gotta get that stuff out for the Halloween, or for the Christmas stuff that comes in. There are no Thanksgiving stores. I'm sorry. That's not my problem.
I had to shred a Santa suit costume. I thought it might be for trick-or-treating, but it wasn't. They've already got Christmas brewing in some of those retail places.
There's a Silent Night, Deadly Night comment, but I'm just going to move on here.
Certainly is. In fact, that is my Christmas special for 2018.
Oh,
you called it right. This year, Sammy Terry's Christmas special will be Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Oh, that's excellent. Excellent stuff. So, SammyTerry.com, you can go for all the web information. But what do you got coming? Now, this, I have to preface this. This is depending on when you listen to the show. If you're listening Saturday morning like you should, thank you. But Sammy Terry is busy all weekend long, and you have plenty of chances to see him on the road as well as on your computer. Sammy?
Well, that's right. On this Saturday, October 28th, at 6 p.m., I will be on the east side of Indianapolis at the Key Haunted Escape Rooms. I'll be performing a stage show about 8 o'clock, but I'll be doing 4 Facebook Live broadcasts during that time from inside the escape rooms. And the Key Haunted Escape Rooms are the only haunted escape rooms in the city. So make sure you bring your Halloween and make it every day of the year at the Key Haunted Escape Rooms and see me on Saturday from 6 p.m.
It's the most gruesome time of the year.
It certainly is. And then, of course, on Tuesday, my birthday, Halloween, I invite all of your listeners to make sure they have liked the Sammy Terry fan page on Facebook. Because so many Sammy Terry fans since 1962 have moved away from the central Indiana area and cry and whimper every year that they can't see Sammy Terry's Halloween special. So this year, my webmaster, George, has created a Facebook Live broadcast of my annual Sammy Terry's Halloween Movie Special, and I'll be bringing to you Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard. So everyone listening, make sure you like the fan page, share it, and tell all of the Hoosiers that have moved out of the state in your family or fiends. And let them know that they can once again see Sammy Terry on Halloween, spooking, tricking, and treating like always.
George is your web guy, your web spider?
There can't be a better webmaster.
And plenty of arms to work
you
on.
You should see him work a keyboard. It's amazing.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. So you can check out Sammy all weekend long, and make sure you do that. And we'll get to Sammy in just a little bit, but we got some other films that have opened this weekend in theaters. The main one I got to see, and by the way, it actually doesn't matter when you're listening to this. Thanks to everybody who helped out during the WFYI Fall Pledge Drive. And remember, it's never too late or too early to support public radio goodness and hear WFYI. WFYI.org/give or 1-800-233-0020. But thanks to everybody for helping out. We really, really appreciate it. Where else can you, and part of the reason why we can have Sammy Terry on twice a month, and you can have the frivolity that is Film Sociology, is because of supporters like you. So thank you. Opening in theaters this weekend, quite a number of films. The one I got to see a slight letdown called Mark Felt, The Man Who Brought Down the White House. And this is a film starring Liam Neeson, and it's based on a true story of Mark Felt, who is also known as Deep Throat. The Watergate Deep Throat, not the movie Deep Throat. So this is a film that actually works out if you've never seen All the President's Men. And it's a period piece, obviously. Diane Lane plays his wife. You have people like Josh Lucas in the film. And it's the background of how Felt was seeing how the White House was going and how the FBI and the CIA were acting, and decided to kind of take matters into his own hands. The problem is, because I grew up with, for me, I grew up with All the President's Men, the now second most riveting journalism film ever made, right behind Spotlight. But I think of those memorable scenes with Robert Redford and Hal Holbrook in the parking garage in Washington. And to flesh that out a little bit more, it was a little dry and a little low in energy for my taste. So, at the very least, I'll say kudos to Liam Neeson to taking a break from action movies, even though The Commuter opens in January. Good for that. But if you know the material, it doesn't bring anything new to the table. If you don't, you might like it. You'll like it more than I do. But watching the scenes where, and it's usually about halfway through the film, of Deep Throat and Woodward meeting for the first time, had the feeling of a college acting scene workshop, and that's not a good sign. So that is opening in theaters this weekend. Also in theaters, and I thought about our film sociology alumni, Kobe and Bianca. It's a film from Andrew Garfield and Claire Foy called Breathe. And this is based on the true story of an English tea salesman who winds up getting a rare disease and is stuck on a respirator. This is in the late 50s, early 60s. And what his wife helps and friends do to not only get him onto a respirator to keep him alive, but also a respirator that gets you mobile. Because if you've seen hospitals in the U.S. and in England in the 50s, you were basically stuck to an iron lug and you were stuck forever. And this, so part of it is the inspirational story about how this item was made. Also, a devoted love story between Garfield and Foy. And if you look at the trailer, Bianca and her mother are totally going to see this. It's directed by Andy Serkis, for you fans of Planet of the Apes and Lord of the Rings. Yes, the stop-motion actor is directing this film. So, yeah, very, very cool. The film, how I think the AV Club referred to it as this year's The Theory of Everything, where a crushing disease does not break love's labors, whatever. But my buddy Chris Lloyd of the film, made a point, and I totally agree with him. If you look at the ad campaign for Breathe, especially the photos, it is Andrew Garfield and Claire Foy. They do have a meet cute at a cricket match, and they have a whirlwind romance. And they get married. She tags along with him on his tea purchasing trips to Kenya and South America and all those. And that's usually like the first 10 minutes of the film, before the disease kicks in. And it's a lot of them, forehead to forehead, and the sun sets in the background. And I guess that's an easier sell than, Andrew Garfield bedridden with a hole in his throat. I guess you can't do a love story. It's difficult to sell a love story with a hole in your throat. Maybe.
Nobody wants to kiss a hole in your throat.
Moving on. Yeah. So there is that aspect of it. So what I do like about the film is that it has a feel of a 50s British melodramas of, yes, two English people in love, and then there's a deadly disease and a lot of melodramatic acting happens. But what I do like about the film is that it does go into a little more detail, probably which you couldn't get away with in the 1950s, as far as process at the hospitals, procedures with doctors. You have, of course, you have the one-dimensional stiff upper lip British doctor who thinks his patient should never leave the hospital ever, which, of course, then moves along the plot of getting him a respirator that keeps him mobile. And then how long can he be outside? And what if he decides to travel to Spain to see people? How long, is it electric? And then you also have a manual. I mean, there's a lot of, if you're into old medical gear mixed in with two pretty people being in love, then I think you'll like this film.
Oh, now that you said old medical gear, it reminds me of the days I used to stalk the halls at one of the old Indiana State Hospitals. All the medical gear that they would put the people through was just exciting, some of which I stole, took back to my dungeon, delighted Goolsby and George with my medical devices. Perhaps you'd like to come visit them sometime.
Only if you have Nurse Ratched with you. So.
Of course.
Of course. So, all right, that is... Anyway, Breathe is happening over there. It's a decent date film if you're into that. Now, some other films opening this week. We have the film Lucky, which is the final film of the great character actor Harry Dean Stanton. Plays a man finding himself on a journey of self-exploration and search for enlightenment. I believe David Lynch is in this film. Ron Livingston, Tom Skerritt, if I remember correctly. You also have the origin story for Winnie the Pooh, Goodbye Christopher Robin. So if you like Saving Mr. Banks, I think that's going to be up your alley. From the director of American Honey, The Florida Project, looking at a childhood set in a stretch of highway in a Florida motel. It's the land outside of Disney World, and it's the story of those people, the people who live in the motels. And a rare non-psychotic performance from Willem Dafoe. Always nice to see that whenever possible.
Oh, I much prefer him psychotic any day.
We know, but it's called acting sometimes. You got to stretch that out. And in Loving Vincent, which is now being labeled as the world's first fully oil-painted feature film, bringing the work of Van Gogh to the big screen. So, a little experimental there. Also opening in theaters is Suburbicon, the film starring Matt Damon, Julianne Moore. It's written by Joel and Ethan Coen and directed by George Clooney. So nobody in the GOP is going to watch that. Then we have Thank You for Your Service, a film directed by the writer of American Sniper with Miles Tenner. All I See Is You. Now we're getting into your film, Sammy. All I See Is You. A thriller with Blake Lively and Jason Clarke about a blind woman whose life and relationship with her husband is upended when she regains her vision. That sounds like an easy punchline. You pondered that jokes. And finally, opening this weekend, because there hasn't been enough of these, it's not Saw, it's Jigsaw.
Jigsaw. I've been waiting with bated breath. That just means I've eaten the goldfish from the children's pond.
Grilled, little rice pilaf on the side.
Raw.
That's why you're popular in Japan. So anyway, that is all of those are at theaters. Tonight at midnight, if you're listening on Saturday, it's your last chance. The last midnight movie at Keystone Arts, the original Halloween from 1978. Sammy, do you remember where you were when you first saw Halloween?
Oh, I
do. The film, not the day.
The first time that I saw that, George and I was screening it at our drive-in back in back of Sammy Terry Castle, back where all the subterranean condominium complexes are, with all of the graves and the high-rise crypts. We shooed on the great big side of the mausoleum that houses the largest families from Transylvania. And George and I ate our bugs and popcorn in that order between George and I as I drank my typo cocktail to celebrate Halloween.
I'm sorry, don't some people sometimes put their bugs in the popcorn?
That would be delightful. I'm going to write that down.
See, I watch Food Network for a reason, so. So that's midnight at the Keystone Arts. Let's head down to IU Cinema in Bloomington. Again, depending on when you're listening to this. Well, 3 o'clock on Saturday, the 1935 musical Top Hat with Fred Astaire. At 6:30 p.m., Exodus, Our Journey to Europe from 2016. That's at 6:30 p.m. Saturday the 29th, Baraka from 1992 at 3 p.m. Le Cercle Rouge at 6:30 p.m. The round circle. No, the red circle. Sorry. Pardon my French.
Rouge.
Literally. Rouge, yeah. From 1970, great crime film. The Jean-Pierre Melville series. Really, really cool stuff there. Monday the 30th, the 2003 film Luther. And then, IU Cinema's not open on Halloween's because they want to go trick-or-treating. But Thursday, November 2nd at 6:30 p.m. as a part of the Jean-Pierre Melville series, La Doulas at 6:30 p.m. And at 9:30 p.m., Essential Black and White Indies from the 1990s, the 1995 Abel Ferrara vampire film The Addiction, with Lily Taylor, Christopher Walken, Annabella Sciorra, from the director of Bad Lieutenant, King of New York, a kind of navel-gazing look at vampirism in 90s New York City. It's worth checking out. I'm a fan of Abel Ferrara's work, even if I don't understand half the stuff he does. But this, and I don't believe this is on, I don't think it's in print on DVD. I don't know if it's available online, but kudos for IU Cinema for getting this. This is worth checking out. Friday, November 3rd, from 1986, the action-adventure comedy Never Too Young to Die. Saturday, November 4th, The Scar of Shame at 7 p.m. And then Sunday, November 5th, here's your double feature, at 3 p.m. from 1986, Rob Reiner's Stand By Me. And then 6:30 p.m. as a part of the National Theater Live, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. Both of those happening Sunday, November 5th, a.k.a. Emma's birthday.
Horrible birthday to Emma.
Her horrible 16.
Horrible 16. The year of questions and discovery. The time when everyone wants to avoid and no one wants to go back to.
What are you talking about? All right, let's head over to the drive-ins. I love the fact that the drive-ins are still open in October. I guess that's why we have heaters in our cars. Over at the Tibbs, Screen One, here's your double feature, Sammy. Jigsaw and Happy Death Day.
Excellent choices.
There you go.
Classy.
Right. Screen Two, American Made and The Foreigner. Two action films. All right, there's that. Screen Three. Yeah, Sammy, I was wondering. Tyler Perry's Boo 2. A Madea Halloween.
A Madea Halloween. Boo hoo hoo.
Sometimes the best jokes are just short. So that is happening, as well as Till Death Do Us Part. And then Screen Four. Oh, these are both Warner Brother movies, I think. It and Geostorm.
Excellent.
Yeah, there's that. Over at the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville, they're going old school for the families. At 8 o'clock, Monster House from 2006. And then at 9:45 from 1991, the reboot, well, not really a reboot, it was a film version of the series, The Addams Family. So if you're a fan of Raul, Julia, and Angelica Houston, and really who isn't, that's worth checking out there. So over at the Historic Art Craft Theater, they're also showing The Addams Family at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday.
Gomez and Morticia are getting good play this weekend.
And good play with each other whenever possible.
I was always jealous of Gomez as he kissed up her arm heading towards her neck where her type O flows warm.
Mrs. Sozia doesn't speak French around the house for a good reason, so. Yeah, exactly.
Wee, all the way home.
Yeah, that too. Friday, November 3rd, call Bianca and her mom. Sense and Sensibility at 7:30 p.m., everyone's favorite Jane Austen film with Emma Thompson, Kate Winslet, directed by Ang Lee, Alan Rickman, Hugh Grant. That's going to be a fun Friday night. Saturday, November 4th at 11 a.m. and 2 p.m., this is an event called Cartoons for Cans, and it's collections and donations to the Interchurch Food Pantry, so you can watch cartoons and bring some canned goods, and that's a good cause over there. Saturday, November 4th, Animal House.
Excellent. Belushi at his best.
Scary. Different scary type of fraternity houses back then.
It is.
And then Saturday, November 11th, Lasting Impressions, Honoring Our Heroes. I think that's a live music event, but I just plugged it anyway. Okay. So that is all happening there. Want to head to the video store in a little right now, actually. There's a couple of older titles I didn't get a chance to talk to earlier. Thanks to Film Movement for sending these over my way. The first one is a is a French revenge film called Mocha. And it's actually, yes, it's French for Mocha, the color. But it's a mom on a revenge trail after finding trying to find the one Mocha Cadillac. If I remember right, it is a Cadillac, that the car that may have killed her son. And it's tracking down the car, sneaking into the driver's job, and actually striking up an odd friendship and work relationship with the person who may or may not have killed her son. It's an understated performance, not an American melodrama, not an action revenge film. So yeah, Liam Neeson's not in this, but it's a fascinating look at what lengths a person will go to extract revenge. And so anyway, that's courtesy of Film Movement. And then from Bulgaria, we have a film called Glory, and it's the story of a longtime rail worker who finds money left on some railroad tracks. And we have the woman who's the PR department of the Ministry of Transport who wants to, of course, push this up as a very positive story. We got a hero, that sort of thing. And as the guy's getting his non-denominational award and laurel and hearty handshake, he actually brings up benefits that the workers and his kind have not received yet from the head of the transport. So it becomes this kind of clash of ideas and manners. The PR lady, I think if this was made in the States, Jessica Chastain would play that role. But it becomes deeper and deeper where he's the rail worker. It's not so much wants the money, but wants what's right. And of course, the PR department and the Ministry of Transport want to keep things on the even keel. So a kind of a squirm inducing drama and comedy of manners. But that is the film called Glory from Bulgaria. I want to post and do a salute to Dead People We Like, because we don't have time for Dead People We Don't Like. By the way, Sammy Terry is here. Appreciate that. Classic that guy, Brent Briscoe, passed away earlier this week. And looking through, and this is a classic that guy, because I didn't have the name committed to memory, but he's got a familiar face. So looking through, trying to find some of the stuff he appeared in, and the beauty of being a quote-unquote character actor, because as Mrs. Soci likes to say, all actors are character actors. But, you know, somebody who's familiar to you, but you don't know their name, but you like their work. And for some, they remember him when he was in this, and some they remember when he was in that. One of his he played Luther in the Burt Reynolds series Evening Shade back in the early 90s. But one of his big things, he played Scooter Hodges in Sling Blade with Billy Bob Thornton, and then had turns in films like U-Turn, worked with Billy Bob again in Sam Raimi's A Simple Man, going through the list here, also appeared in Man on the Moon, in Madison, which was shot down in Madison, was in the Sylvester Stallone Burt Reynolds camaraderie film that is Driven, also appeared as a detective in David Lynch's Mulholland Drive, The Majestic, Waking Up in Reno, played the garbage man in Spider-Man 2, you remember that scene, Good Cop, Bad Cop, In the Valley of Ella, Crazy, he was the homeless guy in Yes Man, appeared in Mike Judge's Extract, Small Town Saturday Night, Jane Mansfield's Car, Hello, My Name is Frank from 2014, played JJ in Parks and Recreation, and once again was in a part of the Twin Peaks reboot as Detective Dave Mackley. So salute.
Long list of recognizable things, yep, for an unrecognizable man.
Exactly. And as long as he's working and the check's clear, that's all we ask for. Now, on video, I said earlier it's Andy Serkis week because Andy Serkis directed Breathe, and a film I was really happy he got billing for one thing, War for the Planet of the Apes. Of course, he's been playing Caesar in the last three Planet of the Apes reboots, and you know, you've seen him you've seen his image in shapes, in body form, in one way, shape, or form, of course, in King Kong and Gollum as Gollum in Lord of the Rings, but he's one of the, if not the best stop-motion actor working today, and the fact that he's got to play Caesar in three Planet of the Apes films, and in this one, Caesar is up against a ruthless colonel, played by Woody Harrelson, doing his best Colonel Kurtz-like imitation. I believe there's even a piece of graffiti that says, "Apocalypse now." Not kidding. I didn't write it, but it's there. But it's, of course, apes versus the men. And, of course, this colonel wants to build a wall around. And I guess, you know what? I think he wants the apes to pay for it. I guess that's all we're going.
Does he realize that apes can climb walls pretty well?
You know what? I bet this guy and the other guy probably not. So anyway, it is a slam bang CG fest as far as action. And there is some of that. But there is the fact that you have character development with an ape. And it's gone across three films, and Circus is a main reason for that. It's an epic war film, just like the last two. And of course, it just so happens that it's a CGI ape who can speak. So anyway, that is out there. It's worth checking out. I've actually been surprised at how much I enjoyed the last three films of Planet of the Apes, because the ones growing up, I mean, the first one was fine, and I think also technology has come a long way, and we got a little social commentary during the ones in the 70s, but I think a couple of those in a TV series in the 70s, not really needed. So anyway, War for the Planet of the Apes, definitely worth checking out. Going back to Sammy's realm a little bit, new on DVD and Blu-ray this week, Annabelle Creation, because killer dolls don't have to be boys. They don't have to be Chucky. They can be girls as well.
That's right. We all know those creepy dolls, whether it was our past or someone else's, who you swear are watching you. And in fact, they are. For the spirits of those who have gone before can reside in that doll. Watch you as you get up, watch you as you lay down, and speak to you through your dreams. It's happening to you now. Just look around. Do you see the doll? It sees you.
Which is higher up on your list there, Sammy? Dead-eyed dolls or clowns?
Clowns. Chorophobia is all the rage.
That's a phobia, really?
Chorophobia is a growing one. In fact, there are now 12 step groups for people that suffer or delight with their chorophobia.
And I suppose you hold those meetings.
I certainly do. We always have a nice It Creation, a Pennywise, some type of visiting specialist come in. Usually I'd run through the middle of the meeting when everyone's holding hands in a circle, singing Kumbaya.
Very good. Also going back to the Blu-ray titles, because sometimes you just throw a film on Blu-ray just so you can have it. From 1981, I vaguely remember this film, and I'll say why in a little bit. But this is part of the post-Halloween slasher films of the late 70s, early 80s. From 1981, Night School. And this is, of course, a college in Boston. Thank you. Yeah, tongue-tied. But yeah, there's somebody killing somebody in the hallways of Night School. This is, and it's on Warner Archives. This is known because this film started at then unknown actress named Rachel Ward. Now, Rachel Ward had a special place in my heart as a kid because the first thing I saw her in was Burt Reynolds' Sharky's Machine, playing the object of Reynolds' investigation. Burt kind of did a version of the old Otto Preminger film noir Laura from the 40s, set it in Atlanta in the 70s. But, of course, she later would do films like Against All Odds, Thornbirds, and is married to Australian actor Brian Brown. But early 80s. Big fun with Rachel Ward. So anyway, that is out on Blu-ray as well. And I think that, yeah, that's all the really for the old titles. So, oh, and The Good Catholic, actually, a film that was shot in Bloomington with Danny Glover, John C. McGinley, a film about a priest, a young priest who starts to have an odd friendship with a young lady. And it questions a few things as far as the strength of somebody's faith. But it's a faith-based film that actually asks some serious questions as opposed to preaching to the choir. And you also have some fun performances from John C. McGinley as the tennis shoe wearing Hoosier basketball loving priest, kind of the smart aleck, and of course Danny Glover, who's not too old for this stuff, is the elder priest who gives the young priest sage advice. And I, without not really giving away a whole lot, but it gives you an ending that's not wrapped in a pretty bow. It actually leaves some questions unanswered. So kudos to The Good Catholic, shot in Bloomington, I believe, last year. So those are happening. We're going to take a short break, because I'm going to play you some Halloween music as if I Put a Spell on You wasn't enough. And we'll continue chatting with Sammy Terry. We'll also go through Ed Johnsonaut's Nuvo list of the 10 most pee your pants flicks. I didn't write the headline. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Socey. I'm hanging out here with Sammy Terry because it's that time of year and he's going to be all over the place. You can go to SammyTerry.com for all sorts of information on where he'll be. You can watch him live on Facebook on Halloween, so that's worth checking out. But ladies and gentlemen, I found out during the break, we have a Film Sociology Sammy Terry exclusive. This just happened. This became official yesterday. So, Sammy, the airwaves are yours, whether we like it or not.
Throughout the years, so many people have asked, where is Sammy Terry's dungeon? And if they could come to the dungeon... And that has always been so far away, very few people have made it. But starting in the Christmas season, in time for your festivities of your holiday, you and all your family and fiends can visit Sammy Terry's dungeon. But more than that, they can visit Sammy Terry's dungeon escape room. We'll be creating my dungeon with my coffin and George and all the accoutrements as an escape room at the Key Haunted Escape Rooms. They're on the east side of Indianapolis at the Post Road Recreation Center at 47th and Post. Go to thekeyindy.com to see all of the escape rooms, but make sure in time for Christmas treats... Make sure you come. Spend an hour trying to escape from Sammy Terry's dungeon at the Key Haunted Escape Rooms. You can reach them at 317-641-6824. And this has never been heard, but will be heard a lot more. But never first, only first, on Matthew Socey's Film Sociology.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. You can go check out what Sammy Terry's digs are, and you might actually get out. So good luck on that one. All right, shifting gears a little bit. Of course, Halloween is happening on Tuesday, and with that in mind, my buddy Ed Johnsonaut at Nuvo, and a fun cover story. Of course, the cover story is called Spooky, but Ed had a list of what he calls the 10 most pee your pants flicks. Okay, so I'm going to check in with Sammy and see how he feels on those. Actually, we're gonna word this carefully because this is still a family radio. But Sammy, I believe you told me once there was a fan that had A bladder moment?
A meltdown, so to speak.
A leak?
A urological meltdown.
Ah.
At my appearances, so many times people have been longing to see Sammy for so long that they just can't hold themselves together, and things seem to leak out. And of course, so many people come up and tell me that throughout the years of watching Sammy Terry host classic horror movies, like on SammyTerry.com, where you can rent them, you can digitally download them, or buy my DVDs, I can be your personal Metamucil.
Green-flavored, I'm sure. Okay, here we go. To the top 10 most pee-your-pants flicks, according to Ed Johnson at Nouveau, and I'm going to get Sammy's intake on these. Number 10, the original 1974 Tobey Hooper, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Excellent.
Number 9, the 1991 Academy Award-winning Best Picture, The Silence of the Lambs.
One of my very favorite psychological thrillers.
It's not just for midnights anymore. That was their number 8, as we've talked about, you can see it a couple more times, 1978's Halloween.
Of course.
I remember seeing this film when it opened. So I was 8, my brother was 14, my dad took us, and a film that's number 1 on the list was the first film that really scared the hell out of me. This was the first time, though, at Halloween, and I was watching it, you know, hands over the eyes. But it was also the first time I heard laughter in a movie theater like this. And I was 8, so I was very confused why, and this was my introduction to the concept that some people have fun being scared.
Hysterical laughter during horror movies is very exhilarating. The body and the mind fusing together, not being able to differentiate the difference of those emotions. Many people burst into laughter and melt into tears.
And hopefully not a urinary meltdown, as we said earlier. But I remember a few years ago when we collaborated, of course, your contribution to Titus Andronicus at the Richmond Shakespeare Festival, and hearing the laughter, not just during your curtain speech, but when we heard laughter during the show. And some, I remember talking to some people who were kind of horrified at some of the stuff that people were chuckling at, but those of us who were on stage, we got a big thrill out of it, especially the final scene. And if you've not looked up the synopsis for Titus Andronicus, do so. If you're a fan of horror movies, you will like William Shakespeare's Titus Andronicus, then Macbeth. I'm gonna say it's a bloodier tale than Macbeth and even Coriolanus. And by the way, shout out to Bardfest. They have one final weekend of performances, including Macbeth, Taming of the Shrew, Cymbeline, and complete works of Shakespeare abridged. All right, back to the list. Number 7, the original 1968 George Romero's Night of the Living Dead.
Which, of course, is also Volume 1 on the Sammy Terry Nightmare Theater DVD that you can order on SammyTerry.com.
And yes, they're coming to get you, Barbara.
That's right. They're coming to get you, Barbara.
See, it's not just for Boris Karloff impressions anymore. Number 6, the original Ridley Scott 1979 Alien. Yes, the film also known as John Hurt's Indigestion. The famous story on that, of course, is only Ridley Scott and John Hurt knew that moment was going to happen. None of the other actors knew the scene in the canteen where the alien bursts out of Hurt's chest. Take that for what it's worth from an actor or a director standpoint. Number 5 is a film I just watched on Thursday. There is a group of I had the day off here from FYI. There's a group of gentlemen I watch movies with on occasion and go have lunch. And because it was that time of year, if I remember right, 1933, James Whale's The Bride of Frankenstein, one of the best sequels ever made.
There were so many sequels for all Frankenstein, for all Dracula, in fact. The number of sequels is unbelievable, but The Bride of Frankenstein is by far the best of all the Frankie films.
I would say, yes, and that includes the original. And Universal has the collections of Dracula, Wolfman, Mummy, Frankenstein, I believe Creature from the Black Lagoon, and all of these films have all of the Universal knockoffs that happened in the 30s and 40s. And, yeah, there's quite a bit. But, yeah, Bride is up there. I mean, that's you're good. You're
very good
on that.
Absolutely.
And what's amusing is, of course, if you're a musical theater fan, watch Frankenstein and especially Bride of Frankenstein, and you can see so many references to young Frankenstein. And, yes, Mel Brooks used the original set pieces from Frankenstein and Bride in the 1970s, young Frankenstein. It's kind of like watching Zero Hour, which has lines literally lifted and used in Airplane from 1980. So, all right, back to the list. Number four, this is a film I know a lot of people love, and I know it kind of changed the genre a little bit, but 1996's Wes Craven's The First Scream, which deconstructed the slasher genre. Maybe I need to revisit it because I remember seeing this when it came in theaters and I thought, talking about the reconstruction of the cliches and then still doing them, I got mixed messages, but what do I know? They made four of these.
Scream wasn't necessarily my favorite of the horror movies, but it definitely rang well with the younger generations and certainly did well with four episodes of that one.
And you can't deny it, the opening scene with Drew Barrymore works.
Yes,
really
it does.
Works. Yeah. Number three, really glad this made the list. Thank you, Ed. From 1932, Todd Browning's Freaks.
Freaks is an excellent film. It actually explores a part of our history when traveling circuses and carnivals would go from town to town. For many people, they had absolutely no opportunity to create a living. And these carnivals many times were their only ways to do so. And in fact, most of the actors from Freaks had been former carnival actors themselves. And to be highlighted on the big screen, it is truly a movie. Whether you cringe or not, you should watch Freaks. It's an excellent film. I've hosted it several times on Nightmare Theater throughout the years.
One of us. One of us. So, and to a certain degree, there's still populations that are still treated like this, and we need to really get past that. All right, number two, 1973. I think with Sammy, if I just say the year, he'll probably know the film. But 1973, William Friedkin's The Exorcist.
Absolutely nothing like spitting creamed peas everywhere. In fact, I recommend everyone have an exorcist moment tonight at your dinner table. Just start gurgling and gargling with a mouth full of mush and then just expel it on the table with a hearty laugh. I'm sure everyone will agree.
Just don't touch the crucifix. Just don't. Stop. But yeah, 1970, a film, and remember, this was there were people who passed out. There were people who got physically ill watching this. So that's impact. And a lot of people talk about Star Wars as the original summer blockbuster. Number two and number one on that list could be exceptions to that rule. And these were really the blueprints for what is now the summer blockbuster as we know it. Number one, 1975, Steven Spielberg's Jaws.
Jaws, an excellent film because everyone can relate. If you've ever been to the beach or ever want to go to the beach, you stand there, look at that ocean. You understand that, like in Sammy Terry's realm, it isn't yours. When you enter those waters, you're not meant to be there, but on the very edge. But if you venture too deep, you explore those who live there, like good old Jaw himself. And he was doing nothing but trying to go to the pantry for a little night snack. You happen to be there. Remember that next time you're at the beach. They're waiting for you.
Wasn't this, basically, Sammy, this was your Frankie and Annette movie, I believe, as a kid.
Absolutely. Two lost lovers walking hand in hand at the seashore, venturing further into the surf, until one of them loses 10 pounds of ugly fat from the knee down.
I saw Jaws in Long Beach Island, New Jersey in the summer of 1975. Full crowd screaming all the way, seeing on an island, like I said, on an island, my grandfather, who I thought was the old man in the sea, walked out. And then the next day, my father, love you, Dad, next day we went to the beach, and my father picked me up over his head, marched toward the water, and all he had to do was hum two notes.
Doo-doo.
Yep, and it scared the living hell out of me. And looking back, I think that's where my love of cinema began, because I found out at a fairly young age that that was a piece of celluloid that did that. A movie did that, and it was buried in my brain. And, you know, and to, like I said before, the Halloween, you know, the experience with Halloween and then watching stuff on TV, of course, with your local horror show hosts, Lost Art, Not That Many Left, Glad Sammy's Here, Glad Sven is Here. So, you know, that sort of thing. But yeah, this is an unforgettable moment and a probably a deal changer, game changer in my life. Honorary mentions from Nouveau readers, according to the article. The original Blob. Of course, if you want to be in a movies theater with Steve McQueen in 1955, there is that. The Blob. The original Nightmare on Elm Street. Evil Dead 2, with Bruce Campbell, of course. Nosferatu, although it doesn't say which version. Could be the silent version. Could be the Werner Herzog experiment with Klaus Kinski, a horror film in and of itself.
The original 1920 Nosferatu is available as volume 14 on the Sammy Terry DVD collection. Make sure you order yours at SammyTerry.com.
Are you getting the hints there, folks? Frailty, that's another underrated one. The Birds. Interesting that Psycho didn't make the list, but, you know, there's only 10, and we discuss. I guess the article does its job. We have a list, we've recited it, and we discuss it. So there
that's
is that.
Right. Any of the Alfred Hitchcocks are all good. And also, old Jackie Nicholson in The Shining had an indelible imprint on many people's hotel experiences.
And if you're really into that, if you really love The Shining, you should look out for the documentary Room 237. At times fascinating, and thank God it's happening on movies and not at the bar stool next to you, but it's many different people's theories behind some of the imagery and some of the subliminal messages that The Shining was trying to tell you. Everything from the treatment of Native Americans. Of course, there was a long-running rumor that Kubrick filmed that the moon landing was staged and that Kubrick was the one who directed it. So anyway, those are mentioned on there, but that's a supplementary too. Anyway, but yeah, this is, and then finally, a film that is mentioned from Brad Keane, Manos, the Hands of Fate from 1966. As my daughter has reminded me, one of the worst movie experiences she's ever had in her life. For the record, I showed her the Mystery Science Theater version of Manos, the Hands of Fate, not the regular studio, not the regular version of Manos, the Hands of Fate, because I may be a terrible father, but I'm not a cruel human being. Show me a little slack. Just cut me a little bit of slack there. So anyway, so Sammy, of course, it is your weekend, and SammyTerry.com is happening on Saturday. Do you remember the first movie you watched that scared you, or in your case, delighted you?
Of course, the very first movie. People ask me all the time, what was it that you played on Nightmare Theater in 1962? And it certainly was one of my very favorites, and that is The Mummy.
Boris Karloff.
It's Boris Karloff. Of course, back then, it was the very first shock movie package that Hollywood had released. It had all of the great classics, the Dracula, Frankenstein, Creature from the Black Lagoon, as well as The Mummy. And that was the first show I ever showed on TV in Indiana. And 55 years later, I'm still showing horrible films such as Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde on Halloween night on the Sammy Terry fan page on Facebook. Make sure you like it so you can relive the days of movie making.
Is there a list? Have you, Sammy, compiled a list of the films that have been broadcast over the years? I ask because I know somebody in Detroit has tried to do that with Sir Graves Gastly. He went from the 60s through the 80s, and there's a few gaps in time, but I wondered if there is a show log that could be done for SammyTerry.com of the stuff that have been viewed over the decades.
The closest I've heard when I was actually doing Scarvania's Haunted House a few years ago up in Muncie, a man from either Muncie or Anderson came and said he had documented through old TV guides all of the chronology of films that Sammy Terry had done, with only a few gaps and holes. Unfortunately, I lost touch with him. If anybody knows him, contact Sammy at SammyTerry.com. I would love to have a discography list of all of my films and how I did them.
Because what's fascinating is, and I did this with Sir Graves, was I remember certain specific films watching. Because I remember this was my introduction to The Invisible Man or even something like The Horror at Party Beach. And by the way,
you had
a combination of, you ran anything, the TV stations, all TV stations did this. It was... You could play anything from the classic Universal masterpieces to Abbott and Costello Meet So-and-So. Spengulee does this also. But he also Horror Party Beach, Blackula, whatever was laying in the archives at the station. Well, that's cheap, and let's just kind of put it out there. And you make the most of it. They're not all home runs, but at least they were a part of your weekend festivities on TV.
And it wound up being a part of Americana. That's why, since 1962, Sammy Terry fans continue to clamor to meet me. I look forward to meeting and seeing each one of you at one of my live appearances and on my Facebook Live broadcasts. Comment to me. I can call you out in real time, live on the air.
All right, we just got a little bit more time. Once again, hit the website and then Sammy Terry Live on Halloween, and then you have a couple more things coming up.
Make sure all of you go to SammyTerry.com. There you can rent, digitally download, or order DVDs of classic horror movies that Sammy Terry has hosted. All of my things are available there. Make sure you like the Sammy Terry Facebook fan page. There you can watch my Halloween night TV special on Facebook Live. I'll be showing Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Invite all of your out-of-town family and friends. And of course, look forward to the Christmas season when Sammy Terry opens the Sammy Terry Dungeon Escape Room at the Key Haunted Escape Rooms on the east side of Indianapolis. And Matthew, thank you for celebrating my Halloween birthday here on Film Sociology. And I certainly want to wish you, Emma, and the beautiful Mrs. Soucy, and all of your listeners, many pleasant nightmares.
Thanks, Sammy. Appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, some words to live by.
Soylent Green is people. Zardes has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. Have a fun and safe Halloween weekend, gang. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
In fact, lately they've been having problems with it in my favorite suburb.
Where else?
I saw a werewolf on Sir Mac Road wearing a flannel shirt. Between Cicero and North Riverside was his placement. When the full moon's bright, he's digging in dirt at night, 'cause he's raising mushrooms in his basement. Berwyn, you try it.
Yoo-hoo.
Not quite. If a wolf is howling low just outside your bungalow, don't let him in, even if he makes your bed.
Why not?
You can always tell the Berwyn breed, 'cause that's the only werewolf wearing a babushka on its head.
Beautiful.
Oh, werewolves of Berwyn, you try it.
I can't believe you'd let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What kind of parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!